The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey, Bobby, you know what's really creepy?
I think I do know.
Do you?
I do.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that we're wearing gaming-related shirts
today? I believe it does. Could it possibly be video games?
Oh, I thought you were gonna be like vegetables. Like, no. Yeah. It is video games are creepy.
Yes.
This is the topic today. And actually, it's kind of creepy that we haven't talked about this yet.
It is. There's a couple things that we're starting to hear that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, we're like, oh yeah.
We haven't.
That's like an obvious thing we should have talked about.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked a little bit about video games in our first episode when we were
YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, for those of you who don't know us outside of this podcast, hi. That is a very interesting way for you to know us, is just the podcast.
Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, we appreciate you. But if you didn't know, our main job is like YouTube, my YouTube channel, and that's how we built our business, was off that. But the majority of my content is gaming related content. I'm a gaming content creator. So it's weird that we haven't talked about video games, because it's literally what we do almost all day, every day.
Yeah.
In some capacity, for sure. Or not.
It's become my like most active hobby in the past 5 years.
Is that how long it's been?
Yeah, since 2017.
Wow.
It's funny, I actually went back. So I started streaming the game that I played, Destiny 2, again on YouTube. And I went back and watched like my first playthrough when I first started playing.
Yeah.
And I was so bad compared to how I am now. It's so funny watching like my movement and everything.
Well, yeah, you now have played the game
for 5 years. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so bad when I started.
I would say, to be fair, I was like, of course you'd get better with time. But I've been playing Minecraft for like 7 years and I'm still terrible at it.
Play it as much as I
play.
No,
I don't.
Destiny.
I play it more for content and like every now and then for fun.
It's pretty creepy when I look up how much time I've played it for.
Yeah, I probably don't even want to know. That's like The Sims. It keeps track how often or how much you played with The Sims.
Yeah.
And because of all the content I've created over all the years and how much time it took to set everything up, it's like a crazy amount of time.
Thousands of hours or thousands of
Yeah. I mean, it's gone days. Down because I haven't played as
I
much
think it's days.
Recently, but
I'm able to track online.
A day, how many days of your life?
Yes.
Were poured into a video game.
It's a hobby.
Are we proud of this or is this something to be?
I don't know if I'm proud of it. It's just something that is very creepy. And I'm going to tell you how much it is in a second once it
Are
loads up.
Are you still
up.
Looking it up?
Guess.
I
how...
can't easily look it up. I mean, I can kind of see
it. Oh, sorry. It goes by hours. How many hours?
Hours?
It's in the thousands.
I'm sure.
I'm in the top 8%. I thought at one time
You're in the top 8% of the entire...
I thought at one time I was in the top 1% when the game was slow.
Oh my God. You're probably up there with like people who actually have that as a job to like stream and play that game.
Yeah, for sure.
Although it's not your job.
A lot of it accumulated before we had Melody, and yeah. It's so... Wait, does it have an active? No. Because there's also it tracks your time that you're AFK, which I don't know exactly what that means. Anyway, so mine is 2,687 hours.
Damn.
With 1,000, like 1,400 of that being AFK, which I don't, I guess maybe when I'm not moving. I don't know. I'm not sure what that means. But yeah, I spent a lot of time, a very creepy amount of time playing one game.
That is a very creepy amount of time to play one game.
Yeah, but you know, we do these, they're hobbies that I do it because it gives me like that competitiveness that I miss from playing sports as a kid.
Ah.
So it gives me that. I get to be competitive, compete against other people, build up my character, which is something I've always enjoyed.
I'm trying to think how to break down this topic because I feel like there's so many
facets to it.
Levels to it.
Yeah.
I guess we could start with the easiest, which would be like, when did you start game? What was your like first big game that you got sucked into? And then what's your favorite game? I mean, I know what your favorite game of all time is, but and then I guess we'll go over how we started, what our favorite game is, like quickly, because we have a lot to cover. And then like what we get from gaming.
Yeah.
Because then I want to, I think that's a nice segue into, I have the topic of like people not understanding gaming.
Oh, for sure. Which, I get it.
Yeah.
It's definitely gotten much better throughout the years.
Yes. But we'll start with our.
For how I first.
So we know where both of us are coming from.
Yeah. I mean, I started gaming since I was young, playing on original Nintendo. And I was a casual gamer. My cousin played. He's a couple years older than me, so you know I wanted.
Wait,
to
so do. Nintendo like NES?
Yeah, okay. That was my first. But the thing that got me like into gaming was for sure Pokemon Red and Blue. I had the blue version. I remember spending that whole Christmas vacation that I had, playing it, sitting on my couch underneath like our little. We had a light that was like connected to the wall because that was when the Game Boys weren't backlit.
Oh my god, I forgot.
So I sat there and my parents got me the game and the game guide. Which is a funny side note, how nowadays we have YouTube and the internet where any strategy, anything you don't know how to do is so easily explained. And before, the company would make an official game guide and show you pretty much everything.
Yeah.
About like how to do this. And I'm like a completionist when it comes to games, or I always feel like I want to like get everything so I can have, best experience. Anyway, yeah, that was my first experience with a game that got me like hooked into gaming, and I was in like fifth grade. So I guess around the age of like 12-ish, I think this one. Yeah. Or 11.
Okay.
That was my first like hooked on gaming. I vividly also remember being at work, my dad's job, where I would go sometimes like on the weekends, do a little bit of work, and talking to my cousin and his friend and being like, what's a game that's kind of like Pokemon or an RPG style game that I can get into more, has a lot. And they told me about Final Fantasy X.
Oh, and yeah, I forgot.
That was the next game that I got really hooked into. I remember breaking a controller because there was this challenge to get like the best weapon in the game. And you had to ride the chocobos, which are like ostriches for those people who don't know. And you had to do this race where you had to run around, collect balloons that would deduct for your score. And you had to get a time of 0. So I'm doing it. And I got 0.01, or like I was that like a split second off, and I was just in shock. And I had a wireless like PlayStation controller, and I had a little side table. I remember just hitting it, not with the intent to smash it, but I was just like, that was just my reaction. And I smashed my controller, and I went and took a shower to like literally cool off.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think I'm a competitive person. I've always been competitive with sports, passionate about it. Yeah, I still am today. Literally, I was playing Destiny yesterday and was having trouble. And I would just get up from my chair to like just cool off for a second. After that, I got into
it's just funny listening to your side of gaming because it's so different.
Oh, yeah. Well, we said there's so many different facets and so many different types of games.
Well, there's so many different people.
Yeah.
Things people like.
Exactly. That's why I think gaming is so great, is because if you want to be competitive and be challenged, there's that. Or if you just want to relax and chill and create stuff, there's that. So from Final Fantasy X went to Final Fantasy XI, which was my first online experience, an MMORPG, massive multi-online role-playing game. And that was when I really started seeing hours pile up.
What, World of Warcraft?
Yeah. No. Well, that was next. Final Fantasy XI. And looking back at how grindy and how absurd what you had to do to like level in that game compared to what the mechanics are nowadays, it was crazy. And I remember me and my friend Olaf playing that game and going like, I remember the first day it came out, I went and picked it up at GameStop for him and I, because I had my car. I brought his to his house, came home, started downloading it. It was like hours it took to download over. I don't know if I was on Wi-Fi back then, but it took hours getting on the first time and like running around to people.
Way longer back in the day to get.
And then it took forever to like log into the server. I'll never forget like logging. I got in the first day at night and just walking around like seeing other people. That was just insane. From there was World of Warcraft, which I got into like towards the end of high school. I loved it because I had played Warcraft and everything. Mm-hmm. I just was like a senior in high school, I think, and going into college. So gaming was starting to get a little less of my life. I still played, but not as much.
Yeah, I think in college I like did not play.
College, my freshman year, I played a decent amount of WoW. Nothing crazy. I didn't do any like crazy end game raids or anything like that, but I played it. And then after that, I pretty much like kind of stopped. I played Madden a lot. Not a lot, but like that was the game I would play, sports games. There was a Sean White snowboarding game I ever played. But pretty much after that, I didn't game that much until Overwatch came out.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about That's, Overwatch.
That was like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, we had fun with that.
That was fun. That got
Rocket
me.
Rocket League we played for a little while.
Yeah. And that led me from to Overwatch to Destiny 2 in 2017. And that's been where I've been since 2017.
That's where I've been.
Playing Destiny 2. And it's got everything I want in a game. That is my video game journey.
Mine is very different.
Oh yeah.
I do not like first person shooters whatsoever. I've finally learned. I finally accepted it. I feel like over the years, I'm like, if I could just find the right one, no. That's just not my thing. Overwatch was probably the closest I have and will ever get to liking a first-person shooter, but I think it's because there was so many different, like, I could be a healer and just, like, kind of, like,
it wasn't so, like, shooting. On the side. I wasn't into shooters at all. I played Halo back in the day, and I just was terrible on like controller. Halo. But once I figured out how to get good at mouse and keyboard, Destiny kind of...
Yeah, so my starter games, I think, apparently we had a Nintendo. Like, my sister tells me this, or she had one, or whatever. I don't remember ever playing an NES, so I must have been too young when we did.
You don't remember
that.
Holding the duck hunt gun up to the screen to shoot the ducks?
I don't think we ever. The most I have experience with that is my mom might remember this. I'm pretty sure when she used to go get her hair done at this one place or her nails done or one of those places, they had an NES at the place and like a little sitting area. And so like if you brought your kids, they could play games while you got your stuff done. So that's the most experience I have. And I remember I played like Super Mario. They had Duck Hunt, but it didn't work because you didn't have the like gun things or whatever.
I forgot there was between the origin of mine and before Pokemon, me and my friend Ryan, we used to play a lot of, there was Ninja Turtles Lost in Time. Because that was like you could play with 2+ players.
We have that now as a arcade game. They remastered that recently too.
That was and Resident Evil. We got really. I'm starting to remember like all the one-off shots of we would play a lot of that.
Yeah, it's interesting because so the first system I remember vividly like wanting to go play at my house was Sega. We had Sega Genesis, mm-hmm. and me and my sister would try to like sneak down and play Sonic together. And then eventually my brother when he got old enough, but then. The next big system we got was Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah.
I got as a communion gift, and I'll never forget, my uncle gave it to me, my Uncle Ed. He gave it to me, and everybody was like, whoa, what? And everybody opened it and started playing it down in the basement during my party. Like, not me. Like, I didn't get to play. It was like Willie, like, all the guys, That's like, went funny. Down. I was like, I kind of feel like he gifted this just so that people can play it right now.
Yeah, I think I got my N64 on Christmas. It was, like, the one before or after Pokemon, and I'll never forget playing, like, Mario 64 and Wave
Race.
Oh,
yeah, That Mario 64. Incredible. It's funny because like what YouTube and Twitch and stuff is now is basically like what I did a lot in what we did a lot in our childhood. Yeah. But
I completely forgot another thing I used to do all the time.
Go ahead.
My first time playing computer games was I had two friends living in the same street as me. They were older than me. So they had a computer and we used to play Doom and Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
And one of us would do the keyboard like moving and one of us would shoot. We made it into a tube. Oh, I forgot all about that. All these memories of video games past.
That's why I find it so weird. I don't think nobody's asked me this in a long time. Yeah. But when we first started, people were like, why would somebody want to watch other people play video games? And I was like, I've been doing that my whole life. Is that weird? Like, I feel like there was arcades back in the day. But then when you had video games, like I remember I have so many memories of going to like my cousin's house and just watching him play like Resident Evil because it was too scary for me to play, but it was totally fine for me to watch him play. Or we would like have, we would play Take Super turns. Mario and he would be like, oh, I heard like there's a star in this area. And then like you would watch each other do it. Yeah. Or you take turns or you'd help each other or just watch the other person.
Yeah, I did it for sure.
Because either they were funny while playing it or like, yeah.
It's, or just entertain. It's the same reason we watch sports and anything else really is because we're not able to do that. Like I can't go play professional football, but I can watch it.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Watching somebody play video games is identical to me as watching somebody play a sport.
Absolutely.
It is the same thing to me.
And as someone who went to college for sports, exercise science, sports studies, and is a big sports fan, I very much agree. Video games to me, like esports, it's definitely a sport.
Yeah.
If chess is, I think
if
a lot
chess
of
chess is a sport, then e-game.
I think a lot of things can classify as a sport and competition. It's just that's broadened up a lot. But like with Destiny, what has happened with me is that I'll watch people play and then I learn.
Yeah.
The same way people learn watching, like when you're young and you're a kid and you're watching someone play basketball or something, you're watching them, you're like, oh, I'm learning what they're doing. And same thing with video games.
Yeah. Where was I? Oh,
N64.
Soon after, we had that system for a very long time. And then my dad eventually had a piece, like a desktop computer, and he would start bringing home PC games because he thought that was cool. And Sims was one of the first ones.
Yep.
The original Sims. And me and my siblings loved it because just kill Sims. Which is funny because like, so I know there's this debate and I'm kind of going all over the place with all the different topics that I want to talk about, but there's this debate of like, you have to watch what kids, had this conversation with somebody. Everybody's like, you have to watch what your kids are doing online. Like there's crazy stuff out there. They could be doing or seeing things that they shouldn't. Like totally agree. Yep. You should. However, I don't think our parents understood what our generation, I feel like our, at least for me, we were like the Wild West. Like I was murdering Sims in a video game. And like when my parents looked at the video game, they're probably like, oh, this is cute. You like pretend to have a family and stuff. Yeah. Like meanwhile, I'm like setting the house on fire and like drowning Sims. But like
chaos. We want chaos.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just kids. Kids want to see what happens.
Yeah, they
want to
see what they can do.
It's not, it doesn't mean I'm someday going to be like, ooh, it would be cool to burn my house down in real life. Like, and see what happens. But there was that. There was like AOL chat rooms.
Oh,
I was telling people where you would literally, you would just be connected with like a random stranger and they'd be like ASL. I said, there needs to be some sort of documentary made about
ASL.
Yeah. And literally I still remember as a kid, like there was a joke going around TikTok. Like it's a miracle I didn't get murdered when I was younger.
Yeah.
Cause I literally was just talking to people. They're like ASL. I'm like, what does that mean? Yeah. And they're like age, sex, location. And I'm like,
oh, I'm 13.
I'm 13 and a girl. And I live in this place. Yeah. It's like,
meanwhile, you're just talking to some creep. And like,
that you might be. Yeah. But in your head, you're like, oh, maybe it's like a cute boy that's also my age and just so happens to have connected to me randomly. Yeah, Jesus. Wild time.
I mean, I think nowadays it's expanded so much more.
Oh, yeah.
But it's more developed.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's not the Wild Wild West. Now it's the multiverse.
I meant more so like parents back then didn't grow up with it.
Yeah.
So like on it. They didn't like I know what's on it now. So when our kids are on it, I'm not as dumb.
We're more aware.
Like, not dumb. Not that parents were dumb, but they just were like ignorant of what was actually happening.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know. And they're like, oh, that's cool. You're doing this. Yeah, that looks cool. And then you're like on E-Bombs World watching like the... like some of the weirdest videos.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a miracle that we came out being fine.
Yeah. Are we fine? I don't think we're that fine.
Anyway, sidetrack. So that was my first introduction to PC games. Mm-hmm. And then PlayStation 2 was the next like big system that my brother and I got. And I'm pretty sure we played that all the way till I went to college and then stopped gaming for a while. We would play like Nintendo Switch in the dorm rooms and like stuff like that, but I didn't get into a game. And then it really didn't come back around until like I started the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Because then I was like, I didn't realize I got into Sims again and played that a lot. I got into Minecraft, played that a lot. Now I'm really into like Stardew Valley. I play in my free time. And I really like... that's why I will play a first-person shooter game if it is a storyline game.
I mean, Destiny kind of has that, but it's gotten... you mean more of like...
I mean like Last of Us or like Resident Evil. Like something where you have to just progress.
Yes,
you're not against other people. I don't like being against other people.
I mean, yeah. You don't. Destiny has campaign.
I guess.
But. It would be great if what they did was take every single campaign from start to finish and made it into a game. Instead of like the way it's been.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's pretty much my, I've been all over. Oh yeah. I missed Pokemon.
Yeah.
Pokemon was a huge, but you kind of went over it. Like same thing, had a Game Boy. I even had one of those lights that plugged into like the side of the Game Boy.
The magnifying glass.
Yeah. And
the
literally
speakers.
Yeah. And my mom knows this, but at night she would like go to bed and I would hide it under my pillow and just take it out. And like, cause she didn't know I still had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just play until my batteries died.
Yeah, the batteries. Game Boy was the best. Game Boy was great.
Yeah. Game Boy is still to this day, like one of those systems that I have very fond. The systems I have the most fond memories of Game Boy.
N64
and PlayStation 2.
Yeah. Same. A lot
those
of,
are like the three like epitome of-
I mean, I'll put it in the original Nintendo because I did play a lot of games and I still have my original Nintendo over there. I don't think it works, but
yeah, the first Game Boy I had was Game Boy Pocket. It was before the one right before it turned color, and then I got the color one.
I think later. I had like the second version of the original, like big chunker.
Yeah, I never had that.
I don't think I had the first version. I think I had the second one when they started, like, I don't know, it was a little slightly different. I could
Willie had it, and we would go
that
over there and I'd
Pocket
be like,
was
I want
to
play it. Yeah, Pocket was good.
Game Boy SP, the one that flipped open, that was awesome.
Oh yeah,
I had it somewhere.
Yeah, I've seen yours. But yeah, that's our timeline of gaming. So you like competitive games where you can also build a character, and I like games that you collect things and there's a good story, and or that's a sandbox
game. Yes,
and for anybody who. I feel like at this point we may have lost some of the people that like aren't into gaming. Hopefully not. Hopefully, even if you're not into gaming, because we're gonna get into like parts of actual discussion around it. But careful. Oh, for people who don't really play games, sandbox games just means you get put into a world and you can do whatever you want.
Create. Like, you can like create stuff.
Yeah. So like Minecraft, Sims, Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Like,
create your environment. Create your town, create your house.
You could create your storyline, like whatever. Yeah. So
see, I don't.
Those are my bread and butter games.
I like story. That's why I think Destiny's really good, because it has a really good story.
Yeah.
I like being able to also collect things and build my character and then go.
Yeah, well, that's
like,
why you
show
like
Pokemon. It off. Yeah, that's but Pokemon. There's only like so much you can do.
Once you like beat everything, then it's kind of done.
Well, then you play against other people online.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a good end game. End game is like when you beat. Kind of like the story version of the game, and then you what do you have to do later on? That's what I've gotten really into with Destiny, is all the like end game really hard stuff, the raiding.
Gotcha. Okay, so now we could pivot into the not so gamery speak about it and talk about just like, so for me, I feel like now, like you said, a lot of people, even if you wouldn't consider, there was this whole debate back in the day that like you weren't a gamer unless you played like Yes. Call of Duty. Yes. like it had to be specific games, but I would say somebody who enjoys playing video games of any kind exactly. could be considered a gamer.
Yeah, people like,
now there's like competitive Minecraft. Like there's any game could be competitive. There's competitive Stardew Valley.
Any game can be competitive because you turn it into a speed run, which is where yeah. you try and compete specific things in like the fastest time you can.
Yeah, that's what they do in Stardew Valley. Yeah.
Pokemon had speed running. I was doing that for a little bit. That was fun.
Yeah. But I feel like there's even like people enjoy app games. They enjoy like we even at the not the expense, at the risk of getting everybody's opinions on parenting. We actually have there's some like child games on Melody's iPad that we let her play with from time to time. And I feel like they've taught her so much yep. in such a short amount of time. Like it's scary how good she is at her age.
They're very like, basic puzzle matching.
It's all problem solving.
Problem solving, like dragging shapes into shapes, connecting, like putting, like dressing like an imaginary like doll or superhero or something like that. But what made us realize that was we get these boxes. What are they, every like 3 months or so?
Yeah, every 3 months.
Every 3 months. And they give you like wooden toys that are like developmental, they like puzzle games. Every time we get them, they're always like, okay, introduce this one first. And then a couple weeks later, do this one. And it might take a little while to do this. Every time we open it up, she plays with everything and she figures everything out right away.
Yeah. And one of them mimicked kind of like shape sorting like yeah. she had been doing on her iPad game. And that one came and she did it immediately because she like remembered from her iPad game how to sort shapes. Yeah. And I was like, whoa.
I've definitely, okay. my thoughts and mindset when it comes to kids and young kids, toddlers playing games is that I think that it's good. In moderation, depending what you're doing, obviously. I mean, I can use us as an example. We grew up playing video games and we're normal people that
yeah.
we had regular jobs before video games became our job.
Yeah.
And we went.
We went to school.
Went to school. We did all the things you're supposed to do.
We got regular jobs. And then
the world changed. But back to, there's this quote that I'm sure is probably not just from my academic advisor, but he always said, everything in moderation, even moderation, which is a whole other thing. But I think with moderation, if you're able to use the tools of video games to learn, to develop. Also, I think it's good because you get like addicted to something and you'll learn to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. As I say, there's a different. Also, when most of the time when she's playing those games, we're next to her. Yeah, we're trying next to, her, to like
help
use either, it as like a social yeah, teaching moment.
Either helping just, like, her or like encouraging her when she gets it right. So she learns like, oh, I did this right. I get to clap or yeah. I get to get, you know, give but a yeah, high
it's
five.
Also good. Like once she's had enough, like yeah. once she's been on it too long, we're just like, okay. And but like, I think it
helps.
It
for sure cool helps it. Develop problem solving. You help to learn how to deal with frustration that even like something that I still go through when I'm gaming is that I get frustrated and I'll like, I mean, oh, especially
yeah, she used to get really frustrated when she first started playing yeah, games. She was getting frustrated
because she couldn't manipulate like the puzzle pieces, putting stuff in very well. But now she's amazing.
Yeah, now I never see her.
Now you hear her just like blasting through all these games. I think it's good. I think it's a teaching tool that is new. It's new technology that we are learning how to properly utilize. And I think the mindset of all screen time is bad as a blanket statement is incorrect. And I think we're learning that.
Yeah. And also kids are different. Kids need different things.
Absolutely.
I think some and I don't kids think can what I'm benefit saying, and some kids will, it'll be like a detriment to them.
Yeah. So it's a tool. Like all things, all tools can be used properly or abused. But yeah. I don't think the blanket statement that screen time is bad and the same blanket statement that I'm making that screen time is good necessarily works for everyone. But I think we yeah. are learning how to better utilize the tools we have.
Well said.
Thanks.
yeah. So in general, I don't know. It's weird because I haven't had this conversation with anybody in a long time. If like, you know, when we were growing up, people were like, video games rot your mind.
Yeah, rot your brain. Don't sit too close to the screen. And all this. Blah, yeah.
Blah. It's like, I don't hear that as much anymore. No. I also think our generation and younger has grown up with it yeah. so much that I mean, it's easy for like an older generation that did not grow up with video games to look at it and be like, I don't understand this. This yeah. seems bad. And like,
no,
whatever. Like
no kids are going outside and playing anymore. It's like, well,
yes, they do.
They do.
Well, first of all, it depends on yeah the parents. But yeah, I see kids. There was kids sledding outside yeah. yesterday.
But it's times have changed. I mean, look at what most, I feel like, I don't know what, but a lot of jobs nowadays, you're sitting behind a computer. I know that's not great, but a lot of jobs are sitting at a desk.
Yeah, that's fair. How can you say like
screen time
that
is bad?
It's bad for kids to not be outside a lot, but then when they grow up, they're like, no, you're going to sit at a desk all day.
I think the idea behind that is that do it when you're young, while you can before. But still, I just think like our society is changing. Technology is becoming more of our lives. We're going to be having more screen time. That's just the way it's progressing. I think we're learning how to better balance that as we all
Yeah, I just read an age. Article about like there's younger kids that are, which we've talked about. We definitely talked about it on a podcast.
I think with phones
episode.
Or smartphones.
That like there's a theory that eventually it'll be in people's lives so much that they'll kind of just like reject
it. Well, because like think about like our age group kind of is like we're almost getting tired of cell phones.
I am.
Think about if you were a kid that grew up having that from the time that you can remember to now, you're like, all right, I see how old news, how like overstimulating it is. So yeah, we're going to learn. It's like any new thing that we discover, we try to like learn as much as we can. And then after we've like used it and abused it, we're like, okay, this is how we better fit this into our lifestyle.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
My channel's weird because people always classify me as a gamer, and like I would because I play video games in my free time and like enjoy it and I make content around video games. But like most of the time my content is like skit comedy where I just bounce off the video game.
You're using video games as a medium to tell stories and be funny.
Yes. So you could watch one of my gaming videos.
Not know a thing about the game.
Not know a thing about the game or gaming in general and still understand the video.
Or be entertained by it or like,
So that's been like my goal in recent years is to like appeal to like a gaming audience, which like obviously I will because we have a lot in common and it's games, but also appeal to like a general audience that maybe doesn't know about games, but is down to laugh a little bit or follow a story.
Laugh at the joke or the story.
But it's funny because every time I put out a gaming video, most of the time when I put out a gaming video, anytime I talk to a family member, they're like, yeah, I don't understand that stuff. But I'm like, did you even watch it? Are you confused? Or did you click on it and you're like, oh, this is a game.
Yeah.
I can't understand this.
Yeah, give it a minute. Try it for a minute.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people could benefit from gaming that they don't realize, especially somebody like me. I've noticed that if I try to sit, so I'm such a goal-oriented person. Like if I can complete or do something, I feel the most fulfilled.
Yeah.
I've talked about this in therapy and we've learned that the reason why I can't, it's hard for me to do nothing is because my brain is telling me like, that's a lazy, unproductive thing to do, even though it's not because I'm taking care of myself by resting. In my brain, it's like, you can't do this. Yeah. You're not accomplishing anything. What are you doing? Get up, go do something. So what happens when I play a game, it kind of tricks your brain while you're resting into doing tasks that in essence, don't really matter because it's in a game. It's not tasks that you're doing in real life, but you still feel like you're accomplishing things.
Yeah.
It's like in Stardew Valley, I'm like, I generated more money today.
Yeah, you're stimulating your brain. That drip feed of endorphins or no.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yes. There's another word I'm possibly thinking of. But it's giving you that fulfillment.
Yeah.
There's a funny story I have. I had a friend in college who he was like a part-time bodybuilder. And that's a very difficult thing.
How are you a part-time bodybuilder?
Like an amateur bodybuilder. But in order to like maintain his physique, he in college, it's difficult because you're going out, you're partying, you're drinking, you're eating bad. The thing he would do to like keep himself entertained was play World of Warcraft. Because this cost me $15 a month.
Yeah.
I sit at home, I'm resting, I'm recovering, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Instead of me going out to the bar, spending a lot of money on alcohol and bad food, and staying up late and destroying his rest and recovery. He's like, there's ways you can utilize and make sense of how video games work for you. And I was actually going to say, like, what, I don't know if you were going to talk about this yet, but like, why do you enjoy playing? I mean, we've kind of discussed, but like, why do you enjoy playing video games? Like, what do you get out of it?
Well, what I just said before, it's entertainment. Entertainment, feeling like I'm accomplishing something, even though I'm resting.
Yeah.
So there's a huge social aspect with certain games. Like Among Us, I always credit with like getting me through the pandemic.
Oh, for sure.
In a way, like as far as like social stuff goes, I did not feel lonely a lot of the times of the pandemic. Like I missed seeing like my family.
Yeah.
But as far as friends go, like I was talking to the majority of them like on a daily or not weekly basis because of that game.
Yep.
And that's why I also joined like another Minecraft S&P, even though it's not technically for my main channel work. It's kind of like a side thing. It's just another excuse to be like, oh, I can be social with people and be productive and like have an excuse to be like, hey, we should all meet up in the game and do this today or whatever, which I know is the same for you. You like,
I mean, for me, like the one aspect is that you're able to kind of like live inside of a fantasy world and you're living through this character vicariously. You're able to do all these crazy things, jump around, shoot aliens in space. But also like I get to play with friends. I get to discuss the game. My cousin, we play together. We discuss the game and it like keeps us engaged and talking to each other. And then I've met people online and later on in person through the game that started out as me going to one person's Twitch stream, engaging with their chat, finding new players and playing with them. And then like, I play with this person. You should play with them. And they would do that. And that spawned into like a good handful of like friendships via the game. And then we go and meet them when we go to like conventions. And then again, for me, with that like competitive desire that I have to compete against other people, I could probably, and it'd be good, like healthy for like to go join a men's basketball league, but that's not as easy as me going downstairs, going on my PC and playing Destiny for an hour or two and like competitive.
You know what's really funny? I had two thoughts while you were thinking that. One, I was trying to compare, like, I guess it's still, I have seen like short form videos of this debate of like that it's bad if men are super into video games. Because like have you ever seen them? It's like the girls that are like, it's me or the PlayStation blah, blah. And it's like looked down on. But if you see a guy who's like obsessed with watching sports or obsessed with.
Well, it's more tolerated.
It's more tolerated, it's the same thing. Like, it's like, he watches sports every day. Then he goes to the sports bar with his friends and whatever. But like, that's not really talked about. But if somebody comes home from work and wants to play video games for a couple hours, they're like, oh my God.
And
what
as
a
someone
loser.
Who does both, this is how I, so
I,
it's
the same thing.
It's very similar here, but here's the difference of why I think gaming is better. So when I'm watching football, besides like fantasy football, there's nothing I can do to actively engage with the content. I can talk with my friends about it, which I do, which is fun. You can go to the bar and like, that's a good reason to get together. Absolutely. But when it comes down to, if you're sitting there watching a game, there's nothing you can do to.
Yeah. Say, why do you think gaming has a bigger community aspect than like any other?
But I can go play my game and I'm actively doing I'm actively competing against other people, or I'm actively like getting new stuff that makes my character better. And I'm like building up my character and building up my artillery of weapons or whatever it may be. I just like that aspect of gaming better than watching sports, is that you're actively doing something.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, it's all whatever if you want to just say it's like digital, whatever, but still you're actively doing something that allows you to utilize the tool of video games to do something else.
I'm not saying it can be detrimental.
Oh, absolutely.
So can anything else.
Anything
can
be abused.
It's the same as like if all your free time is spent watching Netflix shows.
Yeah.
If all your free time is spent on social media. If all your free time is spent on video
drinking
games, or watching sport. Like if just all your free time is like obsessing over one thing, like obviously it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But like I think singling out video games is weird, especially nowadays. I don't know if that's past.
Think it's just that a lot of people just don't play games and aren't into it. And then if they meet a significant other is really into it and they're not, they see that as like a negative thing instead of trying to like, I see that a lot where like one partner's hobby is very, one person has this hobby and the other person doesn't. They don't get it. They're not into it. And whether they've tried to take an interest or not, but they don't have that interest. So they almost belittle their partner for having that interest. And it's like, they're obsessing over it. Yes, I can understand if that's all their free time, like you're saying, but if they're doing it for a little bit, this is their outlet.
Their hobby, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's a difference between like, always doing something and doing something like every now and then.
Yeah, as a hobby.
When there's nothing going on.
If it's your hobby, it's your hobby that you do when you have free time.
But if it's your life
and you balance it well, just like anything. Yeah. It's becoming more part of our lives and our society, the digital
think it's
online world.
Less
like taboo. It's less taboo.
It's less taboo now.
Absolutely.
And it'll just keep getting less.
It should. And like we keep talking about, like, there's such a variety of games that even if you're not like, I'm into the competitive, you're not, you're able to just sit, relax, chill on the couch.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, because my days are so nonstop that the last thing I want to play is a game that's also nonstop, because it's just like so that's why I play a lot of like Disney Dreamlight Valley and Stardew Valley. What's with the valley? I just like going to valleys.
And there's a lot of other
Animal
more
Crossing
games that are designed to like help you relax, or there's really an almost unlimited toolkit that video games can have that people can use to enhance their lives.
Yeah, I was going to say an ending point on that too. I will say one of the biggest eye openers for how valuable video games are.
Two things.
Is when I saw like in children's hospitals. Is that things you're going to say? Yeah, I work a lot with like, there's like Second Life and there's a lot of different organizations. St. Jude, I think, even does it. There's a lot of organizations that basically will, Extra Life, sorry. They basically make like rigs where handicapped children can do something
or sick children
generally
in the hospital.
Yes. Or if they're like staying at a hospital or living at a hospital, like they can't go play sports. They can't go outside. They can't do things a normal kid can do, but they can play video games with their friends.
Yeah.
They can play, like any kid can play a video game. Even if you're handicapped, they like, it's crazy. They can like make rigs that you can play, like not even using your hands.
Yeah. That was the other point, was that what video games provide enables for people who are disabled, allowing them to enjoy the game as well as any other able-bodied person.
Yeah, you can like feel normal for a little bit, like that you don't have a handicap.
Exactly,
like that's huge.
And I've seen it. And there's a Steven Spawner Spencer. This is one guy, Able Gamers. He's like one of the guys. You've seen him before.
Yeah.
He's in the wheelchair and he can't. I don't think he has like much use of his extremities, but he's able to run a charity and play games, and he's able to do that thanks to video games and technology. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize is how,
or think about. Yeah.
And also another side note is video game is one, like live streamers who raise money for charities that you've done.
Yeah.
That's one of the, like that's, it's raised so much money. St. Jude's has done a lot. The other point, which is very different, but one other cool little like side story or thing that was good for me during the pandemic was a lot of my friends who were working from home started gaming more.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And
you guys,
we were all like, we got
in
the call. They all got in the Call of Duty, which is something I'd never played, but I'm like, all right, I'm good at Destiny. It's a shooter game. I should be good. And I was pretty good at it. And then I got to play with all my friends who I never played video games with. And there was like this magical couple months during the pandemic where we'd all get on at the same time after work.
I was over playing Among Us and you were getting on playing Call of Duty.
It was awesome. It was great. I had to play with all my like childhood friends that I didn't get to play with as much.
Maybe. You know, so many people had like relationship issues during the pandemic because they were just like with each other all the time and nobody else. Maybe gaming. I mean, we don't really fight or we're fine with each other. But it's like maybe gaming like helped people because you could hang out with other people still.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel like you were just like on top of one person the whole time.
Absolutely helped. For sure.
We didn't fight during the pandemic.
No. Well, we also were working from home and living together.
Yeah, it's true. We were already in it.
Yeah, we
knew what it was like.
Yeah. It's definitely changed our lives and given us a life that we didn't ever think was gonna be a reality. And I think that's also another thing is that people are able to stream or make content through video games that they're not able, that's a job they can do from home, whether they have a disability or whatever, that they can now have a form of income by either live streaming or making content. It's a whole new job that's opened up. Live streaming is a huge thing.
I feel like at our age, it's hard to see other friends.
It is.
And it's everybody's working. They have families.
Everyone is in
Everyone's got their own things. Everyone's in the
middle peak of their careers, ideally, where they're very busy with their jobs.
Trying to
starting families or like in the beginning process of having families or kids or getting married or try to figure out their life, whatever they're doing.
But that's why I like streaming. Like, I personally like streaming because you can have conversations with people.
That too.
Whereas you feel like...
you get to have that instant back
in real life, it's like, it's harder to like just have a straight up conversation with somebody unless you are going to like an event to go see them.
Yeah.
At least at our age. So it's kind of nice to have that.
Yeah, there's plenty of times where one of the our friends and streamers, Clintus, that when he's streaming...
I'll literally just always listen to him because he's just
listen to him
about life.
Or just jump in the chat and like just have a quick little chat with him and get the back and forth.
Yeah. Shout out Clint.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
I'm going to start slowly dipping my toes into the creepy side.
Let's dip.
Unless there's anything else you want to say. No, also,
I think we've touched a lot of topics.
Appreciation to... my parents for starting me on video games without them, I may have never had this career. So I appreciate both of you.
Same.
One in heaven and one probably listening right now.
Yeah, same.
See, Mom, it all ended up being okay. You didn't have to worry about how much video games we were playing.
I feel like my dad, well, I know my dad was like into arcade games. I know Galaga was one of his favorite games.
Oh yeah.
And I think he had the NES. Like, I think he got it possibly for himself.
I think my dad got the NES too for Chrissy. I was too young to play it when he got it. I'm pretty sure he was one of the main people that owned
it. He wasn't like...
I think my mom... I remember my mom being involved with the Game Boy stuff.
Yeah.
But my dad was involved with like the consoles.
I know my mom liked Tetris. I remember like her saying how like she used to play that.
Yeah.
When it came out.
Oh no, and she likes I do know she likes Pac-Man, pretty sure. Yeah. Pretty sure she's told me she liked playing Pac-Man at the arcades and
stuff. Well, that was cool about like when video games were in the arcades and it was a social thing. People went to the arcades.
I know, I missed that. I always say I want to find like an arcade bar.
Yeah. They have them.
I know, but I don't know if there's one here.
Yep, we got to find one.
So one of the last big topics about video games, which we'll try not to get heated about, but it's the fact that a lot of people, and by people, I mean, politicians and or the media,
the media
tries to pin violent crimes on video games.
Yeah.
And so I was gonna talk about that a little bit because I feel like that's a big point of discussion.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody brings this up, or whenever there's like a shooting and then they go and look at like the background of the person and they're like, oh my God, he played a bunch of Call of Duty and he played all these shooting games. Whenever I look at it, I'm like, okay, well, if you're gonna blame the fact that somebody just so happened to like play video games and be like, hey, this would be cool, I'm just gonna shoot a bunch of people now. Then you also have to blame movies, TV shows, and just news coverage in general, because I can't tell you how many times I have watched the news and they in graphic detail will tell what happened. And I'm like, okay, this is way worse than me like playing even Fortnite that had like no blood, just like shooting somebody. Like listening to the news media made me way more anxious and understand what the heck happened. Like, I don't know. There's two parts to this. You can't pin it on just video games, even though they're like, oh, remember when Grand Theft Auto came out? I feel like that was the first time that I had heard.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, oh my God, everybody's going to start.
Yeah, it's going to turn everyone into
punching prostitutes and pulling people out of cars. Yeah. It's like, no. So I always go back to like the quote in the Scream franchise where it was basically I won't tell you who the killers are, but to ruin the movie of Scream, the ending of Scream that came out in the 90s, that might have been a spoiler, but the murderers were very obsessed with like horror movies. And the one guy said, oh my God, I wish I knew exactly the quote, but it was like, she said, you watch too many horror movies. And he said, don't blame the horror movies. Horror movies don't make the killer. It just makes the killer more creative.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think video games are going to spark something in somebody and be like, hey, I want to do this now in real life. It might give them ideas on like, I don't know, how to go about it or like practice.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't blame. But also, so can news media.
Yeah, so can.
You can study what other people did.
Yeah.
Or movies, like movies, any, literally shows, anything. You would have to take any sort of violent stuff out. But I don't know why people just don't understand that it's mental ill. Like a non-mentally ill, happy person doesn't go around just being like, hey, I'm going to go shoot people today. Like,
yeah.
There's something going on. And that's why every time there's this debate, it's just like, well, there's mental health problems and like nobody's really paying attention to them or caring about them or paying for them. Or like you're just kind of looking for scapegoats
it's a lazy
mental
scapegoat.
Illness is a harder problem to solve than, oh, take away some of the.
Oh, it's the games. It's the Grand Theft Autos and the shooter games and the whatever.
Yeah. So
demon games.
I am always of the mindset that like, and not even because I'm biased because I like video games, even though I don't play the shooting ones, but like. And yeah, I don't at all think that video game. Also, a side note, you can look this up. I don't know I haven't seen it in a while, but I posted something on Twitter. There's a chart of like all the countries that allow violent video games. And the US is the only one that has like all of these gun deaths based on, I think like Japan was like, had the highest amount of, like violent video games that you could play or something. Yeah. And they have like the lowest.
Well, yeah, they're very strict.
Yeah. Firearms, so like, obviously there's something like it's well, a US a whole problem, not a video debate. Game problem.
Absolutely. Well, that's a whole nother monster to talk about. Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. I think if anything, I think games allow you to get out some of your possible frustrations. Too. Like I play a game where I shoot aliens and other like people in the game, and I don't have any desire to do that in real life. I never did. Don't think I ever will.
You're saying if somebody had like pent up aggression,
but it allows you to get out that frustration. I think one good thing about games is it can be used as an outlet where if you have frustration from your job or whatever it may be, you can go and either get lost in the game or get that out in a competitive edge. I think people who have issues, even I think I have a small bit of, not, I wouldn't say an anger issue.
I hope not.
No, But I would say, like, I can get frustrated very easily.
Yes.
I've definitely gotten better at it. But I think one of the tools that has helped me realize this and get better is through video games. And instead of, you know, smashing my controller or cursing or whatever it may be, I learned to just take a step away, take a couple deep breaths, and relax. That's what I was doing yesterday. When I couldn't, like, beat this part in a game, I was getting mad because of reasons. I don't want to get completely off sidetrack. But what I did was I stood up from my chair, or I just, like, took a second to breathe. And I think that's something that I have taken into my regular life. When something frustrates me, is I've learned how to better deal with that. So I think, like anything, like I've said many times before, anything can be abused. But when it comes to the topic, do video games cause
violence?
I don't believe so. I think it can be a catalyst for people who have already violent tendencies and a violent nature. Like you said, almost to...
It's basically...
I don't think it's going to enhance them.
No, the point would be...
It might even help them.
If we took away the video games, would that person who played video games and shot people, would they have not shot people?
I don't think so.
I think if somebody has the desire to kill people...
There could be a handful of examples one way or the other, but yeah, no.
If somebody has the desire to kill somebody, that is not going away.
But
that is not going away just because they didn't play a video
game. But I would be very curious to know if people who did have bad desires and tendencies, if playing violent games actually even maybe fulfilled that, and then they... didn't need to do that in real
probably
life.
Probably look that up. I'm sure people come study. Out about it.
Yeah.
Or talked about it.
But yeah, I think that's that narrative is slowly fading away.
Yeah.
I think that was possibly...
I haven't heard it as much. Yeah. I think the last time I heard it was like...
I think it was also
right
something...
before the
I
pandemic.
Think that was something, not to get religious, political, but I think that was a narrative used by like the church to kind of...
It wasn't used by the church. It was used by the NRA, mainly.
What? Wait.
The NRA was blaming video, is the main catalyst for blaming video games.
But I also remember,
they don't
like,
want to be regulated.
But I also remember, like, when it came, like satanic games or, like, demon games.
Oh, well, yeah, there's
that. Was
that. But I meant the main person who was pushing, the main people who were pushing for, like, taking away violent video games or regulating them more was the NRA.
Yeah, so they
which is kind of hilarious.
Use it as a
because it's like
they wanted to use that as
I'd be like,
distraction.
Oh, so the NRA wants regulations on stuff.
It's similar
interesting.
To that. We just watched this clip of what John Stewart debating a politician about gun control reform.
Yeah.
It's just a lot
that's a whole other beast that I don't think we'll ever talk about on this podcast, hopefully. But that's
maybe someday down the line we can discuss it more.
Yeah. I don't know. Wow, we've talked a lot.
Yeah, doing good.
I have a couple spooky stories.
Nice.
Video game like horror stories that some of you may already know if you've been watching my channel for a long time. I've definitely talked about and or played these. The only other note I wrote before these stories was if anybody wants to see and or listen to like one of the scariest. So every time I looked up like scary game stories or whatever to research for this post, a lot of times I would get like the scariest games that were made.
Yeah.
And I know like Dead Space looks terrifying. I'm a baby when it comes to like really scary games. Mm-hmm. If you notice on my channel, most of my bread and butter games are like mildly scary games or like silly scary games.
Yeah.
There's a handful of really scary games that I played and you can see that I am in distress the majority of time. Like I'm too scared to ever play like PT or Resident Evil or any of those. But I will go and watch other people play them or listen to like synopsises of the game. And one of the scariest synopsises I've ever heard from a video game is called Martha is Dead. They literally like, I don't want to talk about it because I started telling our one friend that I was going to talk about it. And he was like, oh, don't ruin the story. But if you don't care about playing a really long game, they just remastered it. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, just so I can Interesting.
So they just remastered it, I think, a year ago, and that's how I first heard about it. It is the craziest. If you look up, I forget the guy's name, not Screen Rant. If you look up Martha is Dead story explained, just watch like one of the first videos that comes up. It is absolutely insane. It was a wild ride. I kind of want to play the game still, even though I know what happens. So look out for that maybe on my channel. But it was like one of the creepiest, scariest game stories I've heard in a long time.
I'm excited to go look it up now. I don't know if I've ever heard
of it. Martha's Dead. Yeah. There was like a debate. It's funny. There was a debate when it got re-released for the PlayStation because they apparently cut out a lot of the close-up gory scenes that were in the original.
Ah.
And people were like complaining, saying the game is a really messed up game. Yeah, what does it matter if you take out a couple of the like gorier parts? I don't know. But if you really want a scary, creepy story that's going to make you think and be like, oh crap, the entire time you listen to it, it's literally like they tell you something and then they're like, no, wait, this is what actually happened. No, wait, this is what actually happened. Like by the end of it, I was like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about like scary or horror games is that movies are cool and they're scary and you get into it and
video
you feel
games
like
are like a whole nother
the
level.
Video games you're manipulating things more, you're in it, and
you have to continue. That's the thing I hate the most, is like you have to be the one to go forward.
Yeah,
like you in a movie it's easy because you could be like, don't go in there, oh like,
yeah,
close your eyes and whatever is gonna happen is still gonna happen. But like in a video game you can't like close your eyes and just let whatever happen. You have to like continue on your way. That's why I don't know how people do VR scary games. I would die. But anyway, there's a couple like scary, I guess they're all creepypasta-y type stories, which I think we explained what that was last time.
No, I don't know.
Oh, we explained the Russian sleep experiment. Yes. Was a creepypasta. It's basically a scary story. It's an urban legend that was created on the internet and passed down through the internet through the years, but nobody really knows like how it originated or whatever. So the first one was a big video on my channel. Like it was one of the first videos that I remember like taking off a little bit. And that was the Ben Drowned creepypasta.
I think I remember sending you that and that kind of led you into.
Yeah. So I tried to write these out in ways that like, if you've never played the game or you don't play games in general, you'll still understand why it's creepy. But basically on September 7th, 2010, 4chan user, I forget how to say this, Judsuable?
Judsuable?
I don't know. Posted a thread about his experience with a haunted Majora's Mask cartridge for the N64. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, Zelda Majora's Mask is known for being like it's not supposed to be a scary, creepy game, but it is. He explained that after receiving a suspicious-looking Majora's Mask cartridge from an old man, he went to his dorm room to play it and noticed it had a save file named Ben on it. He decided to ignore it and created a new file, but during the course of the game, characters would refer to him as Ben at various moments. So basically, like, however you name your game, that's what they call you in the game.
However you name your character.
Yes. But it also is, like, listed on the save file as, like, the name. Figuring it would help the problem, Jad deleted the Ben save file, but this caused characters to not refer to his name at all. He then attempted to perform the fourth day glitch, which is a hack that allows... So basically in Majora's Mask, there's 3 days, like full-on days in the game. And if you don't complete everything that you have to complete within the 3 days, you like sing a song and then it brings you back in time to the first day, but it resets everything you've done.
Oh.
Except for like, unless you've like completed the task, if you completed it, then it doesn't reset. But if if you're in the middle of doing a task on the third day, you got
to
like start.
It'll just reset you to your last checkpoint.
But there's a glitch where you can like bypass the system and get to the fourth day, which shouldn't exist. It basically ports you to like the end boss battle at the third day that you're supposed to have. He noticed the text was being displayed incorrectly and the music being played with a reversed version of the game's Song of Healing before being ported back to Clocktown. At Clocktown, he discovered Clocktown's like the main area. I guess this is harder to explain just people who have not played the game. I apologize. He discovered that the textures were missing, the music was distorted, and the town was empty of the normal characters. He began posting links to YouTube videos. So you can actually look this up. Like, the guy was posting his gaming experiences to YouTube of, like, all the weird stuff that was happening that he claims to record while playing. It all eventually led to the conclusion that the game was once owned by a boy named Ben who had drowned in a local lake. The person who started posting the story eventually stopped, but presumably the haunted cartridge still exists somewhere. So the whole story basically is that a kid that was, like, obsessed with this game died in a lake, and, like, his spirit possessed the game so that he could stay there forever.
Creepy!
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This next one I didn't know about, but apparently you did.
It's called very familiar.
The Madden Curse.
Yes.
One of the most well-known gaming legends claims that the NFL player... What did I say? Gaming legends?
You didn't say it, yeah. Legends. One of the most well-known gaming
urban legends.
Yes.
Claims that the NFL player who appears on the cover of the annual entry in the Madden franchise will get injured or underperform in their next season of play. EA, the developers, even felt the need to publicly refute the curse, although it's hard to deny the startling amount of players who have had problems.
Yeah, it was very creepy for a while that even so, like when it came to like fantasy football, if someone was on the Madden cover, you would avoid that player because you knew they were going to get the Madden curse.
That's hilarious.
And there was a player who I thought like broke the curse. I know Tom Brady was on it, and I think he might have been the one that broke the curse. But it was like every year, whoever was on the Madden cover either got hurt. Or there was one player who he got voted on, and then his career just tanked. It was crazy.
Jeez.
Now that...
Is that not a thing anymore? Is that...
They stopped doing it, I think.
Like putting a cover, a person
putting
on
a player.
Cover.
I forget what they've done. I haven't played it in so long.
Yeah.
Now, you know, NFL is... There's a lot of things that go on, and a lot of play... You know, injuries are pretty common and stuff. So a lot... You know, you can make sense of it how you want, but it... A lot. Anyone who is a sports fan, even if you're not a gamer, you've probably heard of the Madden Curse.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Not funny, but creepy.
It is.
I haven't heard of that until now.
Yeah, there was. It was odd how it just kept happening.
The next one is Pokemon. Pokemon Lavender Town music.
I love this one. I think this one. This is how like I remember looking into creepypasta stuff, and I'm pretty sure I found this story.
This is a very old one.
This one's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember finding this story, and then that led me to Ben Drowned, and I'm pretty sure I sent you the Ben Drowned and this maybe. Stuff, and then you made like
then
an
I
early
went down
video
the rabbit
on
hole.
It. Yeah.
Pretty sure I played a video, a game mod that somebody made of this too.
Yeah.
But the late 90s were dominated by Pokemon. Oh, what a time.
Mm.
Pokemon and Beanie Babies are like vividly in my mind around the same time. What a great time to be kids.
Tamagotchis.
Ugh. According to this myth, there was something sinister behind the otherwise lighthearted red and blue entries in the franchise. The music that played in Lavender Town, the in-game location that housed ghost Pokemon, apparently caused Japanese kids to commit suicide. Although none of the stories have been validated, Nintendo did alter the music for the American release of the games, which is kind of crazy. It leads me to believe, like, I mean, either they thought they were going to get, like, bad press, so they were like, let's just
change it.
Change it. Is that the story that you, because I know there's a couple different, like,
there's a lot of, like, creepypasta Pokemon stuff and a lot of creepy stories. There was something with one of the original developers having, like, issues and trying to do stuff. What I think is cool is, like, these old, like, 8-bit style games, they're because they're so simple and the music is, like, very simplistic. It's just so creepy, like, listening.
So I want to know what the music was before that, then.
Let's see.
Because it wasn't that. Yeah, but how are you going to know it's the real music?
Lavender Town.
Japanese version? I would just do... Wouldn't you? No, that's the regular one.
No.
Oh, it's different? That's the,
it's different.
That's the version I remember.
You're gonna hear a little bit of differences. Yeah, this is definitely...
Oh, I hate it. I hate it! I don't think the mic's not picking it up, by the way. Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
That's creepy.
Oh, I hate it.
And then this was the one. Yep.
So this is the regular one.
Yep.
Like the one we're used to.
No, this is Pokemon Red and Green Beta.
Oh.
Ooh. Whoa. Yeah, it gets weird.
No, that first, the last one I hated.
What? Right, yeah. But like, just that creepy style,
I hate it.
Because it's so simplistic and they can only do so many tones. It's so, yeah. If you look into that, it's really cool. There's some real creepy stuff.
I hate it.
Especially
that.
If you're into Pokemon.
Ugh.
And you haven't heard about it.
Oh, God. That one song gave me chills. I don't like it. I understand why they changed it.
You can do a lot of weird, creepy things with audio.
So my last one is Minecraft. Because I think you told me to throw this in, the Herobrine one, which I actually found like more background info than I originally had. So according to legend, Herobrine is a sort of Minecraft ghost who haunts single player Minecraft worlds, meaning like nobody else should be on the server with you. It's literally just you in a world. So, like, if another character shows up, that's weird. he may look like a standard Minecraft skin, but you'll know it's him by his white eyes. Even if you never spot him, you'll know it's inhabiting your save file if you see mysterious 2x2 tunnels in your minds. When I read this, it kind of gave me chills because I play Minecraft so often that, like, there is no such thing as, like, because each block counts as one.
Yeah.
It's like if two blocks are taken, that's usually like what you do when a player is strip mining.
Yeah.
So like the only way that would occur in a save file where nobody is if somebody was strip mining, meaning like if you're in a world by yourself and you see somebody strip mining, you're like, where the hell? How did this happen? He might be the one digging them. If your world is missing glass or you spot tree trunks with all their leaves missing, that might also be his work too. He can also appear in the form of a cow or a sheep with white eyes. Some say he's the ghost, the dead brother of Minecraft's original creator, while others say he's simply an unlucky miner who died and came back for revenge against living players. Notch, who's the Minecraft's original creator, has tweeted about Herobrine several times over the years, saying in 2012 that I don't have a dead brother and he never was in the game. Not real, never was. However, even Mojang, who are the people that own Minecraft, or did before Microsoft bought it, got in on the meme as Minecraft patch notes to this day often include the line, removed Herobrine, which is kind of awesome.
So
like, that they played into it, pretended like it was like some sort of virus that they were getting rid of.
So this goes into like a lot of what I think is cool about developers and like secrets that are hidden in video games, which
Easter eggs.
Which is a whole nother topic that I think is really awesome when it comes to games, is that things can be hidden that people will either like never find or they find years later. There's a lot of that was in Destiny and apparently like still is. And there's a lot of stuff that like just happened in the game that has been hinted at in the game for years. So my like conspiracy theorist mind is like thinking that if I was a developer, this would be something that I would love to put into games, that like a Herobrine person.
I would love to program that in
so that it can be triggered at some point, or if like you do something,
or just extremely rare,
or just extremely rare. I think that would be so cool. I like that aspect of, we talked about this with like Disney being creepy when like the animators would put like hide like weird little things,
like thinking nobody would see it.
Because people who create games, you know, they're just human, and it's only natural that you want to like put some creepy stuff or like your touches, or you have an idea for something that like wouldn't make sense for in the normal loop of gameplay, but like maybe you can like hide it somewhere.
Well, it's cool. It's kind of like, what if in Super Mario you were like, yeah, I'm the developer of Super Mario, and people were like, yeah, right. You're like, watch this.
Yeah.
You can like do some crazy Easter egg that nobody knew existed because you made the game.
Yeah.
I get it. I get why you would hide something
like
there.
If I was a developer, I would 100% put as much creepy, weird Easter eggy stuff in.
The Herobrine one's creepy because like I've seen videos and I mean, now there's mods that you can like put on and he'll show up randomly. Yeah. I had one and it was pretty fun to play with because every now and then you would just be like doing something and then you would like look into the distance, there'd be like fog and you would just see like him way far out and you're like, oh God,
he's coming.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. That would be fun. Developers, start sticking like weird, creepy things in
the
backgrounds.
Oh, I'm sure they do it. But more of that, please, would be great. Yeah.
Well, that's all the scary. I mean,
do you have any creepy things that have ever happened to you in games? Glitches, weird things. I've had weird glitches happen, but nothing really like.
Sims has had really. Yeah. Remember, there was one glitch that I caught on camera when I was. It was a long time ago. It was like the alien glitch when it just like made those. I forget if I showed you it, but it like. Yeah, made the sim body just all distorted and super creepy looking.
Yeah.
That's probably the only one I can like think of.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever had any creepy weird.
What's like the biggest Easter egg I remember ever finding out about was the Mew? Pokemon one.
Mew?
No, the Missingo.
Oh, Missingo. Oh, yeah. Missingo was, oh, that was awesome.
And you could just like get like unlimited rare candies and unlimited like Master Balls. Oh, yeah. And like,
that was awesome.
Mew, I didn't find out for a while. I feel like it took me longer to figure.
Well, there's the one about him being, one about it being at the SSN.
Yeah.
Which wasn't true.
I tried that.
But then there was the actual glitch that you could make, have a, encounter him in the game.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Well, there's one in Pokemon Yellow where you could do it.
Yeah.
I did it not too long ago when I was playing an emulator.
Yeah, glitches and stuff like that. It's awesome. I think
I'll never forget the SSN one because I spent so long. Same. Doing like not going on the ship and letting it sit there until you learn surf.
I feel like it was hinted at in the game guide or like teased in the game guide about Mew and the SSN. Or
I miss game.
I remember like seeing it online, like early days of like actual player people doing it, but it could have just been.
I really want a game guide. I need to buy a game guide for Stardew Valley. I know it's all online, but it's a lot harder to like. Figure out.
I have my original Final Fantasy X one.
Oh.
Yeah. I looked it up. Wasn't
I should valuable. Get one for Minecraft and Stardew Valley because I feel like I always have to look stuff up for those.
The internet has all of that.
I know, but
you don't need a magazine.
I miss guides.
Yeah.
I miss books. But yeah, that's all I got for video games. I also wonder if because The Last of Us, when recording this, we have 2 episodes left. When it comes out, there'll be 1 episode left.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based, obviously, on the video game. I wonder if, like, because this is doing so well, if they continue to try and make... Well, they've been trying to make video game movies for a while, and they just haven't...
A lot of them haven't done well. Yeah, a lot of, like...
Yeah, I can't think of one video game movie or show that I really liked besides Last of Us.
Warcraft didn't do great.
Halo, they just did.
Halo did. Well, people didn't love that. It's hard because you either.
I guess Pokemon.
Yeah, but Pokemon was like a cartoon. It was everything.
It was a TV show.
It was everything at the same time.
No, Last of Us was very good. And I know even myself, like, I want to go back and play the game. And I know a lot of people that never play the game, like, wanting to play the game because they like the show so much. So I wonder if it's going to bring more people to actually play games.
I know Destiny is in works of creating either an animated or movie or something. Because
you know Five Nights at Freddy's, they're filming a movie right now.
That's awesome.
That's
there's a lot of potential.
Yeah.
If done right. And I think things they're getting better at figuring out how to do it.
Yeah. Well, now it's so crazy. It's like when we were growing up, it was only AAA titles.
Yes.
Because you needed the money and resources to produce and distribute your product. Now there's literally like most of the games I play are free on like it's called itch.io. That's where all the indie games are. And you could literally like Five Nights at Freddy's was like an indie game that a guy just put out for free. And now he has an entire like Five Nights at Freddy's empire built on it. It's crazy. Yeah, there's just so much. There's so many games I want to play and not enough time. Yeah.
It's it feels like an unlimited world of creation.
Yeah, every time me or you stream, they're like, people are like, are you going to play this game? What about this game? Yeah. What about this game? I'm like, how much time do you think I got in my day?
Yeah.
If I'm playing it for my channel, then sure. But if it's just for me, it's going to probably take a backseat until...
Yeah, a lot of people bounce around from game to game. I've always been someone that enjoys kind of like staying in the world of one game.
No, I like bouncing around. I get bored. That's why I've never finished Stardew Valley, and I intend to do it this time. I always get sidetracked and forget about it, and then when I come back, I'm like, I don't know what I was doing. I have to start all over. But yeah, that's video games.
Yeah, they're creepy, aren't they?
Hopefully, if you don't play video games and you're still listening, that it was... I was going to say educational.
Enjoyable.
And taught you something.
Yeah.
Made you look at video games a little bit different.
There's a game for everybody, I believe.
Yeah. There definitely is.
Whether it's an app game or
like
whatever it
may be. Like me who likes pretending to serve food.
Yeah.
I love food serving app games. I don't know why. I love productivity app games. But yeah. And remember.
Everything is creepy. Mm-hmm.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.